Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews deals with a group of people that had made a decision to follow Jesus. That decision to follow Jesus had issued in difficult times. Their families and their friends forsook them. And the writer encourages them to continue following the new covenant. Don't go back to the old covenant. The old covenant was over. They needed to press on to Jesus, the captain of their salvation. He says that the key in these difficulties is to live a life of faith, of trust in God. When everything seems to be around us confusing and difficult, to trust God. And he's told them that these difficulties in life, God brings because we're in the lifelong school of learning. See, you thought you were out of school, but you're not. You know why you're here? To come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and then God puts you in the lifelong school of learning to teach you about Him. Because the word discipline here especially has the idea of teaching. So everything that happens in life, we should be asking, Lord, in this difficulty, in this circumstance, the good and the bad, what are you trying to teach me? What am I to learn? That's what the word discipline here is. It doesn't mean that there's going to be a cosmic fly swatter come out and rap you on the head. God is merciful. He is mindful that we are dust. But nonetheless, once you follow the Lord Jesus, He designs a curriculum for you, a lesson plan or lesson plans for your learning. We've been looking at, as we go through these learning lessons, how are we to respond to the discipline in verses 1 through 11 of chapter 12? And last week we looked at strengthening the weak. Don't be too hard on weak people, or the Lord will bring you the lesson of being merciful to others. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what?" The converse is well true. If you're not merciful to people, you may get the lesson that God will teach you mercy, where people will have to show mercy to you. Be rich in mercy. Help the weak. Strengthen those who are going through difficulty. There's many times in the lesson plan of life that we get angry at God, right? Well, don't get mad when someone gets angry at God. Encourage them. These are human responses. Love covers a multitude of what? That's what fundamentalists do not understand or get. We do not want to be quick to condemn. We want to encourage and strengthen. That is what God's people are about. Make straight paths for your feet. In other words, not only are we to pursue love, but don't go down a path that may bring you into further difficulty. That's what those verses, remember that last week? If a person that is in a wheelchair wants to climb down some rocks, go down a difficult path, that isn't the wisest. Stay away from those things that will weaken you further, was the second principle we looked at last week. The third principle we looked at was pursue peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," for what? They shall be called what? The children of God. Sure wouldn't learn that from some Christians. They always want to make war. Well, yes, sometimes you have to fight about sound doctrine, but there are other times in which you need to instruct people in sound doctrine because they just don't understand. Pursue peace. Churches know how to make war, don't they? They fight over the carpet, the colors, everything. They fight over the most stupid things. Pursue peace. But then the writer this morning, in what we want to cover in the little bit of time that we have, says something that you need to pay attention to, because I'll bet you haven't had a sermon on this in a long time. I'll bet you, and I make people mad, one precious little old lady didn't like I said something about Joel Osteen. So up she got and walked out. That won't be the last time, it won't be the first time. You won't hear a sermon from Osteen on this. Why? Because he wants to keep everybody happy, and sometimes a preacher can make you happy in what it says, and sometimes when you're preaching the Word of God, you just have to tell you what it says. So there's another thing when God is disciplining us, when teaching us. There's something else we need to be doing besides loving, pursuing peace, and don't go down those paths where we're weak. Look what it says in verse 14, that I stop in the first part of 14, but this morning we've got to finish 14. Pursue peace and the sanctification. Oh wait, don't stop there. When's the last time you heard a sermon on sanctification? Because look what it says. Without which, and that which refers to sanctification, if you don't have the sanctification, no one will see God without it. Boy, I don't want to ignore something that the Bible says, without that I will not see God. So if it's so important that without it you won't see God, how come preachers, when's the last time you heard a sermon on sanctification? Have you ever heard a sermon on sanctification? From the fundamentalists. Who said that? I'm watching you. It says, without sanctification, no one will see God. What in the wide world is it? Well, it isn't referring to Christians that walk around arrogantly and think they're so holy. And the reason why people put their nose in the air and think they're so holy is someone told me their feet smell so bad that they can't stand it. That is not what sanctification has to do with. The word sanctification is a Latin term. Let's go back to what the Bible says. Without the being set apart, dedicated to God. You know what it means, sanctification? It isn't a bunch of rules that you have to keep. It's your here. You want me to give you the David Farnell cotton patch version of what it means? It means you're sold out and surrendered to Jesus Christ and you are like Him. That's exactly what sanctification means. If you go to Rome, somebody read for me Romans 8:29. Who's got our mad scientist Mark? Read Romans 8:29. I don't care. I don't want to fight over a translation. You know, I was at a church where if you didn't have the King James, you weren't going to do anything. That's where God's people get crazy. Go ahead. What do you got?
For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers.
You know what sanctification is? Simply put, preachers love. I have books on theology in my office that are 12 volumes, and they try to make things that are very simple so complicated. And that's what I tell the guys at seminary. Don't complicate it. It simply means this. What is sanctification? You become more and more like Christ. And then finally, the Lord will finish and make you completely like Him. That's where everything moves, is Christ-likeness. So you want to know what sanctification means? It's not just holiness. It's Christ-likeness. The whole world is moving toward one goal. God's children are going to be made like Jesus. Let me show you ultimate sanctification. Mark 1 John 3:2. What's it say? When Jesus returns, something's going to happen to all of us. 1 John 3:2. Sanctification has nothing to do with keeping rules. If you don't go to movies, you don't smoke, don't chew, and don't go with girls that do, that has nothing to do with sanctification. How many times do Christians make these rules about this and that that have nothing to do? Listen to me, you want to be sanctified? Just ask yourself this, how can I be more like Jesus? Because that's what sanctification is. Its goal is to conform you to the image of Christ. So how are you going to know how to be sanctified? Look what Jesus did. How he acted. You know what Jesus was? He was a friend of sinners. Do you know who really upset Jesus? And he preached more to hell to these people than any other group. Do you know who that was? The Pharisees. I had a preacher at the school, as I told you, that was preaching on, Jesus was preaching hell to sinners. And I started laughing because in the context, he didn't notice Jesus was teaching hell to the Bible thumpers. You know why? Because Bible thumpers go walk around with their Bible up here and they love to say, oh, how good I am and I can't wait till God calls down fire and brimstone on all of those sinners. Jesus loved sinners. They liked Jesus, but the Pharisees carrying their Bibles around were always going around checking Jesus out, criticizing him, and seeking to kill him. So if you want to be like Jesus, you're going to love the sinner. You're not going to be like him, but you're going to love him. You're going to show the compassion of Jesus because they are lost. When Jesus looked at the people of the land, the sinners, he had compassion on them. Because the Bible says they were sheep without a shepherd. It says this, if you are not becoming more and more like Jesus, you won't see God. Why? Because the new covenant, remember we've been dealing with the new covenant. In the new covenant that we've been looking at throughout Hebrews, God puts His Holy Spirit in you. See, the old covenant told you you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. To teach you, you couldn't do it. But in the new covenant, God gives you His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit empowers you to do one thing, to become sanctified. Simply put, you become like Jesus. If you want to know what sanctification is, first you have to look at the life of Jesus. How was He with people? How did He respond when He was ill-treated? How did He respond when His disciples were dense? You know, He didn't get mad at them. He just kept teaching them. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're My disciples, by the love you have for one another. Jesus wanted His children to display the love of the Spirit that God puts in us. So, Jesus said two things about sanctification. The goal is to be like Him. Are you like Jesus? Are you more like Jesus today than you were 10 years ago? How about 20 years ago? How about, I don't know how long some of you have been Christians, but you can tell if sanctification is occurring as you're more like Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the new covenant. Well, how do you become like Jesus then? Well, Jesus said, sanctify them through Thy Word. So you got to study God's Word, especially what Jesus taught. You ever read the Beatitudes? There is what Jesus taught. There are theologians that teach Matthew. I had a guy that In one church, taught said, you can't preach on Matthew 5 through 7 because that doesn't apply to the church. Oh, yes, it does. Jesus said those who ignore Matthew 5 through 7 build their house upon the sand. So you want to know what Jesus was like and what He taught? Sanctify them through Thy Word. Where's His Word? Start reading what Jesus taught. So how do you become sanctified? In addition to knowing what Jesus taught, the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does this work in you. Using the Word of God. What is the fruit of the Spirit in the New Covenant? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience. Read that, Mark. Galatians 5:22. Come on, Mark. Come on. You're the official reader today, or people will fall asleep if I don't call on people to read.
You're working with me today.
I know, but I won't. You're going to Missouri, so I got to get my money's worth out of you right now. 22. What's the fruit of the Spirit?
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Are any of those words indicating that Christians need to become hard-shelled? Legalistic? Critical? Harsh? You know, when the Holy Spirit works in your life, He softens you. When I grew up, I went to a bunch of hard-shell Baptist churches until I realized in the Word, as I studied it, God wants soft shells. Every one of those words are the softening, gentling Christ-likeness that He wants us to be. So when the writer says, pursue the sanctification without which no one will see God, it means this. Every day, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit you need to submit to so that you become more and more in the new covenant just like Jesus, who is sympathetic, loving, and kind. And yes, there's always room. When Jesus did get tough. But it was rare, and Jesus had a love for people because He embodied everything that God is moving this whole universe toward is toward the holiness of being Christ-like. There's nothing complicated about that, is there? Nothing complicated, but theologians, give them enough time. Like I told you last week, I knew a guy that expressed the atonement in a mathematical formula. He was a math major in college, and he saw everything in math, and if I showed you what he did, you'd go, huh? In his meaning good, he complicated. Listen to me. Sanctification. You won't see God without it. What's it mean? More and more every day you become like Jesus Christ through the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit.